Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Patriots, to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is episode 1827, the 27th podcast, Sunday evening podcast of 2018. Hope you guys had a blessed week. And for those of you, you're waking up, you're downloading the podcast, getting ready to start your week on your commute. Well, you're being joined by our normal Sunday evening live listeners who didn't get a chance to listen last night. For those of you who were trying to tune in Sunday evening, I put up a little announcement there, and our well is working. I fixed it. Our neighbors were out of water, and we were out of water, or I was out of water. And so we got that fixed, but that set me back from being able to produce that show on Sunday afternoon like I normally get to and get everything all ready, but I got set back. So here we are now. I'm just recording this late Sunday evening so we can get all of the stuff out to you guys for this week. Yesterday, if you didn't get a chance to listen, which is what I aired, Sunday evening, tonight, earlier, was yesterday's show, Saturday's podcast from KTW, talking about Democratic Socialists. And this argument, how they're trying to sell. I'm gonna pick up like a part two to that this coming Saturday. I want to encourage you guys to tune in and listen to that, because the Democratic Socialists are saying there's a difference. There's a big difference between socialists, because socialism is bad. Everybody knows that. I mean, nobody likes socialism, but we're not socialists. We're Democratic Socialists. And there is a difference. Well, there's not a difference. Actually, there is a difference, but it's not benign. The difference is Democratic Socialists are a much more advanced version of socialism as far as stepping closer toward kind of a globalist, communist type of mentality. But they're trying to get you to accept it as a household word, as a legitimate political construct that's viable for America, and it's not. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to give you some examples, some of the insanity, the wordsmithing that they do is just really unbelievable. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit tonight as well, because I've talked about this before many times, but we're going to come back to it because it's worth reiterating, because it's what we're faced with today. And I titled yesterday's show, Democratic Socialism, putting a, lipstick on the pig that it is. And that's exactly what it is that we're faced with. Well, they're targeting our youth and the next generation. So I'm going to talk about that tonight. Now, the other thing, too, that I had hoped to get to was the after-action review from T-Rex. But as anticipated, well, actually, I got way more feedback than I anticipated. Excellent, constructive feedback for how we can improve. We've been making some great strides and progress and doing some training, but it's just going to get better, and there's going to be more of it. One of the things that we've been wanting to implement in the last couple of years, but just hadn't yet, is more quarterly training exercises, little 2 to 4 hour to 6 hour long exercises once a quarter instead of just once a year, big 3 day exercise. That there's many, many things we're going to add, but I'm sorting through all of these after action reviews. Plus we've had conference calls with the operators that were acting as net control station operators. And it's just a very encouraging, the heart and soul that people poured into last week's exercise, T-Rex 2018. So that is something that I'm going to be putting into next week's segment. That'll give me this week to get through more of that, compile that in a way that's more presentable, in my opinion. So thank you guys. Keep the feedback coming. Keep the constructive criticism and ideas for how we can improve coming in. Now, if you guys haven't helped spread the word to your fellow countrymen who might have limited bandwidth, or maybe they don't have internet at all, they can call in on our Sunday evening show. Our Sunday evening show is 857-757-1085. I'll tell you what, let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by the author, Glenn Tate, and the 299 Days book series, but the collapse, the partial collapse, and the rebuilding after the societal, socio-political, economic collapse. Pretty exciting stuff. We've been following the situation in Venezuela pretty closely for the last couple of years as that whole situation there comes unraveled. But something that we don't hear a whole lot about is Nicaragua, what's happening in Nicaragua. The president there, very heavy-handed, autocratic, really a tyrant. And there's a lot of social unrest, a lot of political unrest in Nicaragua. Many, many people have been killed. The government's heavy-handed responses and a lot of just civil discord going on there. I've been talking with some folks with connections to missionaries in Nicaragua, and we're hoping to put that on the radar here pretty quickly. Also, we are going to be following up with our friends in South Africa, talking to a missionary who's operating down there aside from the Sidelanders. So things that are happening all across the world, there's lots of lessons that we can learn. And I think that the one of the most important lessons is that in all of these places that were, you know, relatively stable at one point and becoming increasingly unstable. And in many of those places, they thought it, you know, wouldn't happen there, or that it wasn't very likely that it would happen. Or if the unrest comes to those cultures and those countries, that it was much more, much further off than they see it actually unfolding, and how quickly, once things begin unraveling, how quickly it accelerates. So I think there's some good lessons to be learned from watching those situations and learning from those folks who have had to navigate through that type of a landscape, you know, the socio-political landscape in a country that's experiencing unrest. So we'll continue to watch that. Now, closer to home, in the West, we're having record heat, and mismanaged forests are burning, especially in California and Oregon. We've got several reports here, and this is, of course, hits us particularly kind of close to home in our hearts, because during the T-Rex exercise, while we were doing a simulated emergency, there were operators that were standing by to evacuate for real. Many of them were operating in very heavy smoke conditions because of the real-world wildfires that were burning all around them, with our operators in Oregon and California. So we're watching this. Firefighters have been rushing against uncertain weather forecasts to contain a multitude of wildfires in Northern California. They've already claimed the lives of at least six people and forced 50,000 people to flee their homes. And of course, this, you know, this number's actually higher now than just six people dead. Hot, dry conditions, high winds are fueling blazes. 12,000 firefighters have been drafted in to try to contain 17 wildfires that have destroyed buildings in its path, including the home of a fire chief. I pulled up the fire tracker from the SF Chronicle that they have listed there. The Carr Fire is at 89,000, over 89,000 acres, and it's only 5% contained. That one's killed five people, three injuries, 512 structures destroyed, 135 structures damaged, and that started on the 23rd. It's still raging. And we've got several AMRON operators in that area, Northern California. It might become North California one day. We call it State of Jefferson. But in Oregon also, Oregon Live is covering multiple wildfires that are affecting our AMRON operators. They're monitoring this very closely and ready to go on the air. We're ready to support them if this expands into what's causing a grid down situation for those folks as a lifeline for them. Evacuation orders are continuing for the Garner Complex fire region. Three more dead in the Carr fire in California as of just earlier this evening. That was updated. Long Hollow fire reaches 27% containment. That was earlier on Sunday. And substation wildfire ravages fields, farms, and families. And these are all just reports that came in within the last about 24 hours. And that Long Hollow fire grows to about 33,400 acres. And it's really putting people to the test. And so people have risen. I cover this story. I human life is more valuable than animal life. But this was kind of a cool story because, well, it's got a retired Marine, hoorah, in it. I love the Marines. Retired Marine rescues horses from raging California wildfires. His name is Tucker Zimmerman, and he's a retired U.S. Marine rushing into a new battle as a volunteer rescuing stranded horses and other livestock. So with a large trailer he borrowed from his job selling tractor equipment, Zimmerman's ventured daily into various evacuation zones just as homeowners threatened by the car fire were rushing in the other direction. And so he's rushing toward the battle, toward the blaze. Rescuing these horses where he's taking them to stables, rodeo grounds, ranches, and ranches whose owners have opened up their property to the steady stream of livestock rescued by Zimmerman just since this last Wednesday. So good job. Thank you, sir, for your continued service. I think that was a pretty cool story. Thought I'd throw it in there. Something else, too, that came up. I got this off of Redoubt News, I believe the Facebook page. Because we've been following the human smuggling and the porous borders along our southern border, but here's something that's we're seeing a return to the headlines, kind of a resurgence of activity. Human smuggling getting sophisticated on the northern border, and this story was brought to you. It's by AP News put this out. While the Trump administration fortifies the southern border, there's growing concern over the number of foreigners entering the country illegally across the porous northern border with Canada. People crossing the border between Vermont and Quebec have paid smugglers up to $4,000, usually payable when the immigrants reach the U.S. destination. So while the number of arrests is tiny compared to the southern border, the human smuggling is just as sophisticated. According to the U.S. Border Patrol, they're getting very well organized. They're scouting the areas. They're even scouting the Border Patrol. And he says, we're not dealing with a JV team. This is the varsity team. So it's interesting. What I'm trying to find is any numbers that we can get on the demographics of those who are trying to sneak into the United States from the north, because we've seen how Canada has completely opened up its arms and welcomed in Muslims, and they're becoming Muslimified. Toronto was another shooting last week. More and more Islamic violence openly. They're trying to catch up with Europe in Canada. And now we have the sophisticated human smuggling network along our northern border to bring people into the United States. Isn't that interesting? You never think of people trying to sneak into the United States from the north. I mean, you expect it from the south. They're trying to find a better life for themselves. They're fleeing the oppressed, economically depressed, socially depressed, corrupt banana republic countries in Central and South America. But from the north, they're trying to flee Canada. Well, they're not trying to flee Canada. They're trying to access the United States. Much more like, well, I don't know. Well, I want to follow up with this. I want to get more information. And so if you guys can come across anything that might reveal some of the demographics of who it is largely who is trying to be smuggled in from the north side, a lot of Asian as well. A lot of Asians coming in across. And there was a lot of information that came out over the last few years about sex trafficking Asians into the United States from the Canadian border. So that could be the bulk of it. I don't know. If you guys have information, then send it my way. I appreciate it. The TSA is tracking regular travelers like terrorists in a secret surveillance program. This was out of the Boston Globe. And it says, welcome to the quiet skies. Federal air marshals have begun following ordinary U.S. citizens not suspected of a crime or on any terrorist watch list and collecting extensive information about their movements and their behavior under a new domestic surveillance program that's drawing criticism from within the agency. They had an internal bulletin that describing the program's goal as thwarting threats to commercial aircraft posed by unknown or partially known terrorists. Now, I'm a little more comfortable with the definition of terrorists under the Trump regime, but under the previous regime, under the president who will not be named, they were redefining terrorists to include you and I, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots who embrace our heritage and our history, conservative values, but I'm not really sure how much that's shifted in the TSA at this point. The problem is there's so many subversives from the previous regime that are infiltrating this administration and those organizations. I'm very skeptical of this. But just for your situational awareness, if you've got to fly, you could be getting very closely scrutinized, possibly even being watched as a partial or potential terrorist, even though you're not on any kind of a watch list. Interesting times that we're living in. All right, we're going to come back with segment two coming up here. And we're going to talk a little bit more about, I want to talk about John Brennan. This is something I didn't get to hit on a couple of weeks ago. But just in case you haven't heard it, well, you will hear it here at the Voice of the American Redoubt if you stay right there.
Are equal.
We are an exceptional country. Our religion, and I will say it, is exceptional. That's what made us great. So don't be afraid to talk about it, because that's what it means to be an American. The world is looking to us for leadership, not President Obama, us. The people in Ukraine aren't looking to the federal government. They're looking to all these local governments for leadership, and it's going to come from us.
We're back, and this is segment two at Radio Free Redoubt. Segment two is brought to you by our friends Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots just like you to get relocated to the panhandle of North Idaho, especially up on the north end boundary and Bonner counties. Definitely hot spots that patriots are looking to relocate to. If you want to strategically get moved and you need some help tracking down the property that's right for you, get a hold of them today or this week. Check them out at their website, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Okay, now I want to talk about a couple of things that I've been kind of leading into. This is all going to kind of tie together, but first I need to address something. I've had several folks ask and several people have emailed me. This is pretty much a carbon copy of many of the others that I've gotten. And I haven't talked a whole lot about it. But he says, shall our prayers continue for you and Mrs. to reconcile? Your last mention was unclear. And then he says, I hope I'm not crossing a line. If so, please do forgive me in disregard. Okay. Thank you for your concern. And I want to thank you all for your prayers. I'm so grateful. I stopped talking about it a while back because it was, I didn't want to treat you guys like a yo-yos. Whereas up and down, and I was up and down emotionally and spiritually and everything else. And so the short of it is no, there isn't a chance now. I do covet your prayers. I need them. I need them for wisdom and for courage and for discernment and humility. And when I say I'm rebuilding, I'm rebuilding. It is not my choice. It never was my choice. I exhausted every strategy, every tactic that I could think of. Had so many people praying, so many people trying to intercede, but if somebody's heart is so hardened and they've moved on, you really, there's only so much that you can do. So I had to man up, stop sucking my thumb and wandering around in circles and feeling sorry for myself and mourning. And I had to continue the mission and get my head back in the game. So that's where I am. And so I thank you guys so much for your prayers, for your concerns, for the resources, for so many of your counsel. And I know that many of you are going through very similar situations right now. And God bless you. Christian families, Christian marriages, under attack. The enemy is absolutely on the march. And the marriages particularly are target number one. And so I've had a chance to, you know, pray and counsel with many of you over the years who I've become friends with and got to know personally. And it's very difficult thing is an understatement. But it's time. It's time for me to put one foot in front of the other. And it's been a very difficult thing to do. But the strength that I've gotten from just all of you out there being there for me is more than I can even say in words. So not to leave you hanging, I don't want to beleaguer this. I don't want to be the Debbie Downer and all that stuff. I can't even begin to tell you the highs and lows that I've been through. But many of you do understand because you've been there yourself or you're going through it yourself. But you put your trust in him and he's got you. And he's going to see you through the other side. And he has wonderful things in store for those who fear him and who love him. And that's where we're at. So thank you for asking. Now, let's talk about communists. Oh, by the way, if you have not checked it out, I want to remind you guys of the website socialismtoday.info. Socialismtoday.info. For everything you want to know and more about socialism today. So a very appropriately named. That was started by the senior editor at the Gem State Patriot. And a great guy, super patriot. He just, sometimes I feel like he runs circles around me. He makes people like that with that kind of energy and the zeal for trying to educate others. It's just amazing. It's kind of person that keeps me going. Makes me feel like, maybe I'm not doing enough sometimes. But yeah, God bless him. Now he started the website socialismtoday.info to keep you informed. A lot of stuff too that's that you might find at say the New American or the John Birch Society along those lines. But it's really to let you know about socialism in America, particularly. Now, if you guys remember a couple of weeks ago, President Trump met with President Putin and the left's hair burst into flames. They were running around foaming and frothing at the mouth, wild-eyed, and calling President Trump a traitor and calling for he's destroying the European Union, and it's going to be the death of the Western world because Trump is saying, let's try to get along with the Russians if we can help it at all. There's two superpowers. Well, there's two leaders that obviously respect each other, and they should. You know, I don't think that President Putin or any other world leader, for that matter, had an ounce of respect for the previous president, who will not be named. But I guarantee, I don't care how bad or mean or corrupt or evil they are, they respect Trump. They fear Trump. And that's just the kind of person that we want. Just like when they said, you know, why are we putting Churchill in charge? The guy's a wreck. He's a bumbling idiot. How could he possibly lead the United Kingdom in this trying time? And of course, the response, I believe it was the king, wasn't it? The king of England. He said, because Churchill is the only man that Hitler fears. That's why he's in charge. And right now, at this time that we're in, the trying times that we're in, I believe that I believe that President Trump is the only man that some of these evil despots around the world truly fear. Even if President Putin is an evil despot, I guarantee if he fears anybody, it's going to be President Donald Trump. Or even if he doesn't fear him, he has an extreme level of respect, unlike the woman who thought she was worthy of being president. I'm not so sure we would not be at war right now if she had won the election. Anyway, after this press release, former CIA director John Brennan said Trump's press conference with Putin was treasonous. Treasonous. He's calling for the impeachment of President Trump and said that President Trump committed treason by not sucking up to the European Union, by not kowtowing to this dog and pony show that they call this Russian election campaign meddling so-called investigation. But former CIA Director John Brennan described U.S. President Donald Trump's failure to acknowledge Russia's election meddling in a joint press conference with Russian President Vladimir Putin on Monday as treasonous. Now, who's this coming from? Former CIA Director John Brennan. That sounds like a pretty credible, powerful title, position. Like, it bears some type of weight and authority, right? But who is CIA Director John Brennan, former/has been? He was an appointee. Appointed by whom? Well, he was appointed by the one who was recruited by Bill Ayers, communist, to be mentored and prepared to be president by a communist. We're talking about the previous president here. Communist and Islamic roots, who would become president, who would turn around and appoint this CIA director. Now, the CIA director, former, Brennan, as it turns out, there's extremely strong evidence that he is a communist and a Muslim convert. Now, the evidence specifically is his own admission that he voted for the Communist Party. This was in what, 1980, 82? In 1980, I believe, he voted for the Communist Party in 1976. So there's an article right here. There's multiple articles. You don't have to look very hard to find it at all. Just Google John Brennan, communist. or John Brennan, Muslim. This is an appointee. The WashingtonsBlog.com is just one of many that I chose to pull into my highlights here. So the previous president, who will not be named, his CIA chief, John Brennan, told the annual legislative conference of the Congressional Black Caucus on 15 September 2016 in Washington, D.C., that when he applied in 1980 to join the CIA, he admitted to them that in 1976, in the presidential election, when Jimmy Carter was running against Gerald Ford, Brennan had voted instead for the candidate of the U.S. Communist Party, Gus Hall. And that he was then greatly relieved to find that this information didn't cause rejection of his CIA application. Who in the world in the CIA would allow, especially in 1978, in the height of the Cold War, well, I'd say the height of the Cold War was the 1980s, but leading up to that, 70s and 80s, the height of the Cold War, and he voted for a communist. And now he's being admitted into the CIA in 1980. Now, this happened 11 years before the 1991 end of the Cold War, which ended actually only on the Russian side, but also not on the U.S.-NATO side, where it continues without stop and has accelerated since 2014, now finally being joined by both sides. Okay, so the caucus made no mention of Brennan's having spoken there, nor did the CIA include it in his public archives any indication that he had spoken there. For example, they didn't include the complete transcript of Director Brennan delivers keynote at Miles College on 13 September 2016 in Birmingham, Alabama. He said nothing at all that was newsworthy, according to them. They looked over the fact that he admitted that he voted for the communist candidate. And then on top of that, there's evidence here, or rather, actually, let me take you to a different article by Truth in Action. Brennan is a communist and a Muslim convert, according to this. Appearing on the Steve Malzberg show on Newsmax TV just after President Trump's inauguration, Stone offered his take on what the new president would need to do to clean house in the federal bureaucracy. He zeroed in on John Brennan, calling him a former communist and a convert to Islam. What particularly bugged Stone about Brennan was the CIA director's comment that there is no link between terrorism and radical Islam. There's the CIA director saying there's no link between terrorism and radical Islam. Can you believe this? Stone claims Brennan converted to the Wahhabist sect of Islam during his time at the CIA station as station chief in Saudi Arabia. Now, John Guandolo, many of you have heard his name before. I actually heard, I went to Phoenix, where he gave a briefing on the threat of Islam in America. And he talked about this as well. This article covers this. No doubt, Stone bases his charge on an allegation that first surfaced in 2013 when former FBI agent John Guandolo charged that two U.S. officials who were based in Saudi Arabia at the time personally witnessed Brennan recite a Muslim prayer of conversion. The two men, who Guandolo refuses to identify, claim that Brennan recited the Shahada, an Islamic creed that declares belief in Allah as the one God and Muhammad as his prophet. Further complicating the allegation is Guandolo's charge that Brennan was recruited by Saudi intelligence agents to convert to Wahhabism, the sect of Islam favored by the Saudi royal family. Brennan complicated the matter when he took the oath of office as CIA director by not placing his hand on the Bible, but on a copy of the Constitution. That just added fuel to the fire for those who label him a Muslim convert. Guandolo was immediately attacked for his charge and ultimately lost his FBI position after charges of impropriety. He told me that story about how that happened. Impropriety in relation to an embezzlement case against former Congressman William Jefferson in Louisiana. So since then, he's become very outspoken and a critic of jihadism. And he makes his living as an author and a speaker who gives seminars to local law enforcement on how to combat jihadism and terrorism. So now we have what appears to be a communist supporter at the least, most likely a Muslim, who I cannot find any record of him denying being Muslim, calling the current president, President Trump, who has done more for nationalism and Americanism than any president in recent history, as far back as I know, calling for his resignation, calling for him to be impeached, and calling him a traitor. That's what we're up against. This is the deep state at work. Somebody said, who's the deep state? Right here, what I just read to you, that's the deep state. And they're very deeply entrenched in our government at all levels. Still, it's taking 2 years. It's going to take the next 6 years to root all of those people out before President Trump can leave office. It's deep. Draining the swamp. That's a massive task. These people are sick and they're all over the place. So that's who the former CIA director, Jim Brennan, is, who's calling of President Trump and calling him a traitor. Someone who voted for the presidential candidate running for the Communist Party, USA, and who, by witness accounts, converted to Islam after being appointed by the previous president, who will not be named. So hang in there, folks. Hang in there. We'll be back with segment three.
Adams said, if you love wealth more than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, depart from us in peace. We ask not your counsel nor your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. May your chains rest lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you are our countrymen. These bold words were a scathing rebuke against his fellow countrymen, who preferred to let tyranny prevail for a few handouts from the crown. I echo Mr. Adams' timeless sentiments. Sadly, today, we are once again surrounded by fellow countrymen who have lost their will to continue in the contest of freedom and have determined to become slaves for the tranquil lives they hold more dear than the liberty they've squandered. And as an American, I struggle to call them my countrymen. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
This is segment three of the Eye Opener Show, Radio Free Redoubt. Segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. They have designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive on your property. If you're looking for water access, food supply, energy production, and even security features that are crucial to the long-term viability of your retreat or your homestead, then check out Strategic Landscape Design at strategiclandscapedesign.com. Great service. And another service they provide, if you don't even have property yet, but you're looking for property, they can help you with all of those things to help you take all of those things into consideration for a sustainable landscape design. All right, now... there is something that happened a little disconcerting. This is kind of negative stuff, but it's what's going on that we need to be aware of. Someone said, I recommend a positive story spin on things that have happened throughout the week that are positive. And that's true. And there are definitely a lot of positive stories. I mean, there's so much good happening as well. But, I want to include those, and I do from time to time, but I just, as a watchman on the wall, It's just a little hard. You know, when you're the watchman, what does a watchman on the wall do? He stands there vigilantly, watching for approaching threats that approach your city walls, right? That's what the watchman on the wall does. Now, he might look down on the other side of the wall, and there's a couple of kids that are just gleefully playing with their ball, chasing their dog, and it's an awesome scene. And over here, there's a guy proposing to his wife or to his bride-to-be, and it's just a beautiful thing. But does he need to scream out at the top of his lungs every time he sees something nice and positive? No, it's kind of a thankless job to be standing on the wall and be watching for the cloud of dust from the enemy's army marching on your city on the horizon. And his job is to ring the bell and alert everyone when danger is coming. So that's kind of what I am, as a watchman on the wall. I'm not the only one. There are many of us. And I do talk about lots of positive things. And I could add more. But there's some things sometimes you could spend 2 hours just talking about warning signs that people are not aware of. There are things that you need to be aware of. If you value your heritage and your history and your posterity, there was a patriot who was at the Spokane Valley Library and posted a picture of a children's book that was prominently displayed on the top shelf. It's made for displaying books that people at the library think that you should take special note of. Sometimes they're new releases. Sometimes they're very strategically placed. At this particular library, starting to see a pattern of pro-LGBTQTSLMNOP stuff, books and material prominently displayed, openly standing up so that you can see it right at eye level. And there's one in the children's section for preschool, 0 to 3 years particularly. There's a book titled A is for Activist. So I think the folks in Spokane Valley need to take a real hard look. That's a conservative stronghold, what Representative Matt Shea often refers to as the capital of free Washington. And right there in the public library at the capital of free Washington, there are books promoting sexual deviancy prominently displayed. And in the children's section, there's this book, A is for Activist. It's taking you through the ABCs. So this was covered by Caleb Collier, a friend of mine, also running the same patriot circles. He has his own show called Church and State. It's a radio show on KTW, airs on Saturdays. Well, he posted on Facebook his coverage of this. He got his hands on the whole book and got to see all of the pictures in it. And it's disconcerting, to say the least. This is targeting young children. I'm going to talk about this in this segment. But if you get a chance to, go check out Church and State radio show, Caleb Collier. And we'll put this link to that particular show that he did. It's on Facebook, Facebook video. But I'm looking at some of the pictures, and there are, on the front of this, A is for Activist with a fist. It's all color children's book type with a fist in the air. And remember, this is for 0 to 3 year olds. There's another one with the farmer. They've got the picture with the holding up the rake. J is for Justice. Yay is for Justice. Jia Jing Jang. Justice for all. Openly promoting communism. Here's a picture of a black masked Antifa looking type of activist, basically glorifying what looks like an Antifa member at a protest. What could be more wholesome than that? So you look on the back cover. It's a particularly disturbing thing. If you happen to see this, parents, grandparents, you see this garbage? They're trying to put it in front of your children. On the back, it says the best-selling ABC book for families who want their kids to grow up in a space that is unapologetic about activism, environmental justice, civil rights, LGBTQ rights, and everything else that we believe in and fight for. We? Looking at some of the reviews on the back, Occupy Wall Street throws in, reading it is almost like reading Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States, but for two-year-olds, full of pictures and rhymes and a little cat to find on every page that will delight the curious toddler and parents alike. Here's from Dan Zanes, another, what is this, 21st century, all ages music and, okay. He says, I wish this beautiful and inspirational book was around when my daughter was young, but fortunately, there are plenty of cool children around today who will devour what Inno is serving up. Full of wit and beauty and fun that we can think of, no better way to learn the alphabet. TakeApart.com does their review. A is for activist, shows that you're never too young to become a loving human being who cares about making the world a better place. Wow. Wouldn't Trotsky be proud? Wouldn't Lenin just be beaming with pride over this? Wouldn't Stalin be happy about this? Advancing communism. Well, that's what's happening right in your own public libraries. A is for Activist is an ABC board book written and illustrated for the next generation of progressives. Families who want their kids to grow up in a space that is unapologetic about activism, environmental justice, civil rights, LGBTQ rights, and everything else that activists believe in and fight for. The alliteration, rhyming, and vibrant illustrations make the book exciting for children, while the issues it brings up resonate with parents' values of community, equality, and justice. This engaging little book carries huge messages as it inspires hope for the future and calls children to action while teaching them a love for books and a hatred for all that is Americanism. At least they're laying the foundation for it. The illustrations are also multi-layered. Your child will find something they can learn and recognize on each page. There are new things to discover over multiple readings. There are references for grown-ups to get and maybe even a conversation starter. Oh, and there's always a cat. So reading some of these unbelievable parents' reviews, these leftist communists' reviews, Naomi Klein, from the author of From Shock Doctrine, says, full of wit, beauty, and fun. We can think of no better way to learn the alphabet. We can't wait to try it out with our baby. And, of course, NPR weighs in with a very neutral review. Book summary introduces the letters of the alphabet with terms related to social justice, environmental justice, civil rights, LGBTQ rights, and other causes activists support. Brought to you by NPR. So, and of course, this author has written other stuff like Counting on Community. So collect them all. I mean, there's several books. I was looking at the website. So their Counting on Community book is the follow-up to the hit ABC book, A is for Activist. Counting Up. So this is counting. Now, if you got alphabet out of the way, now let's do counting. Counting up from one stuffed pinata to 10 hefty hens, always counting on each other, children are encouraged to recognize the value of their community, the joys inherent in healthy, eco-friendly activities, and the agency they possess to make a change. A broad and inspiring vision of diversity is told through stories and words and pictures, and of course, there is a duck to find on every page. My goodness, I can't wait. Folks, they're targeting your children in your own public library that you're funding with your hard-earned capitalist dollars. And they're trying to make little democratic socialists, aka communists, out of your children and grandchildren. Are you going to sit there and take it? When are you going to get pissed off enough to demand that they take that garbage out of your public libraries or out of, or remove it from the sight of your children. And it'd be interesting to ask, when was the last time they had a children's Bible story book prominently displayed at eye level for the kids to reach out and grab? I got a listener letter. Well, of course, I get listener letters all the time, but this one I wanted to share with you because it ties in with this. He says, I just listened to the previous two RFR podcasts. I want to say thank you for the recognition. He gave me some great resources that I passed on to you guys. It says, it was a much needed shot in the arm. For any of your other listeners who contact you and want further information about what they can do, there is a website called StopK12Indoctrination.org, which offers several pamphlets and so on. There's also a sample code of ethics for local boards of education to consider adopting. You want an action plan, action item, patriots? See, we can't ignore these things that are coming into our communities, but we also want to know what to do about it. Here's something you can do about it. And this is going to be posted in our highlights and resources posting. Might give us 24 to 48 hours before we get all the resources posted for this show. But StopK12Indoctrination.org. It has a sample code of ethics that you can take to your local boards of education for them to adopt. As far as the standards for material and indoctrination material that they will allow or not allow in their school districts, in your school districts, for those of you who still send your children to the government school system. Likewise, there is the Freedom Project Academy, outstanding, an initiative of John Birch Society, and it's called FPE USA, Freedom Project Academy, FPEUSA.org. Since we both hold that organization in high regard, I have to assume that the K-12 curriculum they offer, as well as online classes, etc., has been subject to the utmost scrutiny. I agree, and I've looked at this. He says, I've tried to raise awareness of this issue locally and don't really seem to be gaining much traction. With Tennessee educational outcomes ranking in the bottom half of the nation, it's but a hot button with political campaigns. But apart from being just one more red meat issue, nobody seems to want to take on the teachers union, which is nothing less than a socialist front. Well, that's true. Now, I pulled up the program guide for FPE USA, and I want to share that with you guys. Now, the FPE USA, their program guide, I've got this pulled up. So let me just read this. Parents, grandparents, you need to protect your children. You need to have the tools and resources to be able to train them up, the next generation. And I want to read to you this one example of what you can do. This is the program guide for 2018 through 2019, the Freedom Project Academy, Faithfully Educating America. Our vision, Freedom Project Academy is committed to changing culture and restoring the nation, restoring the nation. You catch that? That's a very, very powerful and important word. Changing culture and restoring the nation through classical education, teaching Judeo-Christian values, and preparing the next generation of patriot leaders. Our story, founded in 2011, Freedom Project Academy offers a first-rate classical education for kindergarten through high school. FPA is a fully accredited school recognized for authenticity and excellence without compromising core values or academic standards. FPA is grounded in Judeo-Christian beliefs as promoted in the Constitution by our founding fathers, who strove to guarantee the preservation of our God-given liberties. Our classes are delivered live online through interactive classrooms to students across the world. FPA is one of the fastest growing private schools in the country and is also at the forefront in the fight to educate families with factual content and without government control. Common Core free, fully accredited. You guys looking for resources? School's about ready to start, right? Just one example here, just K-5. 2 hours of live instruction per day, Monday through Thursday. Average homework, 2 hours per day, Monday through Friday. 18 total hours of class and homework per week. Those are your grades K through five. So check it out. If you're able to, check it out at FPEUSA, another resource. It's not free, but it's an investment. It's an investment in the next generation. And in this day and age, with the technology, the internet, it's accessible. It's right at your fingertips. So I thought I would share that with you guys as well. Lots of really good stuff. Now, you can also find some really great resources with Chris and Hall at Liberty First, even a lot of material that's oriented toward children. And Mark Herr from Center for Self-Governance is now working on a college course on civil government. So there's a lot more stuff that's either online or coming online now. Now, before we take a break and go into segment four, I want to share something with you. It is it's a story that was sent. I usually don't pass these on. Chain letters and stuff, I delete. I just don't have time for them. All the jokes and all this kind of stuff, I can't read them all. But there was one that a friend sent to me that particularly caught my attention because it ties in with what we're talking about. The next generation and the indoctrination of them. So this is how it goes. Recently, while I was working in the flower beds in the front yard, my neighbors stopped to chat as they returned home from walking their dog. During our friendly conversation, I asked their little girl what she wanted to be when she grew up. She said she wanted to be president someday. Both of her parents, Democratic Party members, were standing there, so I asked her, "If you were president, what would be the first thing you would do?" She replied, "I'd give food and houses to all the homeless people." Her parents beamed with pride. "Wow, that's a worthy goal," I said. "But you don't have to wait until you're president to do that." "What do you mean?" she replied. So I told her, "You can come over to my house, mow the lawn, pull the weeds, and trim my hedge, and I'll pay you $50. Then you can go over to the grocery store where the homeless guy hangs out, and you can give him the $50 to use toward food and a new house." She thought that over for a few seconds. Then she looked at me straight in the eye and asked, "Why doesn't the homeless guy come over and do the work, and you can just pay him the $50? And I said, "Welcome to the Republican Party." Her parents aren't speaking to me anymore. How's that? We'll be back in segment four. Don't go away.
The communists set out to brainwash the people, to destroy their will to freedom, to wipe out their religion and culture. Newspapers were filled with lies and distortions, and still are. Anti-Western and anti-American.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Go to 299days.com to learn more. The fourth and final segment of Radio Free Redoubt, episode 1827, brought to you by Works LLC, Works Holsters. WERKZ.com is where you want to go to find out about how you can get your custom holster made right here in the American Redoubt, and a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Now, when I left off yesterday, I left off talking about the communist goals. Now, if you don't remember, you didn't catch it, maybe you've read this before. So this is posted all over the internet. There's the 10 planks of Karl Marx. There's the Communist Manifesto. And actually, America has fulfilled 90% of them, the 45 communist goals. So I want to go over this with you. If you don't remember, this was read in 1963 in Congress, January 10th. This is actually entered into the congressional record, what I'm about ready to cover here. This was read from it's called The Current Communist Goals. It's from The Naked Communist, which is an expose on the communist strategy. The Naked Communist was written by Cleon Skousen, and excerpts of it were read for Congress. And I'm going to go over some of this. And you tell me, or you ask yourself, how much of this sounds familiar? Current Communist Goals. U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. 2. U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. You know, unilateral disarmament. We'll disarm and then hopefully they'll follow suit. Develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. 4. Permit free trade between all nations regardless of communist affiliation and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. 5. By the way, thanks, Bill Clinton, for that number 4 there. With all the technology that was military technology that was handed over to the communist Chinese. 5, extension of long-term loans to Russia and Soviet satellites. 6, provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. 7, grant recognition of Red China, admission of Red China to the UN. Of course, that was done way back then. 8, set up East and West Germany as separate states in spite of Khrushchev's promise in 1955 to settle the German question by free elections under the supervision of the UN. 9, prolong the conference to ban atomic tests because the United States has agreed to suspend tests as long as negotiations are in progress. 10, allow all Soviet satellite individual representation in the UN. 11, promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. If its charter is rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one-world government with its own independent armed forces. 12, resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. Of course, we have our former CIA director actually voting for the Communist Party president candidate. Wow. Do away with all loyalty oaths. Oh, would they love it? Oh, and if you can't do away with it, then just refuse to swear on the Bible and swear on something else besides the Bible. 14, continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office. Oh, we should add China to that. Capture one or both of the political parties in the U.S. Well, they've captured the Democrat Party, and they've greatly diminished the Republican Party because most of them are all capitulators. 16, use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. 17, get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. Ding, 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 ding. Gain control of all student newspapers. 19. Use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. 20. Infiltrate the press. Done. Get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policymaking positions, and what I might add, librarians, who get to choose what books are prominently displayed in your communities. 21. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Never will they have control of Radio Free Redoubt. 22. Continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculptures from parks and buildings, substitute shapeless, awkward, meaningless forms. And have we seen that in our own communities? I drove past a public library. They paid $60,000+ for the most god-awful piece of garbage that they call art. And that's exactly what it was. It was shapeless, awkward, meaningless forms. Psst, Control number 23, control art critics and directors of art museums. Our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. Well, bingo, there we go. Got ahead of myself. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. And now we have satellite radio, cable TV, no holds barred, anything goes. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Check. 27. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. Folks, this was written before 1963. It was read to Congress in 1963. Number 29, discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. 30, discredit the American founding fathers. Present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. 31. Belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the ground that it was only a minor part of the big picture. Give more emphasis to Russian history since the communists took over. 32. Support any socialist movement to give centralized control over to any part of the culture. Education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. And we see that all across our country. United Nations-driven programs and agencies. Number 33, eliminate all laws or procedures which interfere with the operation of the communist apparatus. 34, eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. 35, discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Well, they're discrediting it, haven't they? Eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. How about we bring that back? I say we bring it back. I say McCarthy was onto something. 36, infiltrate and gain control of more unions. Well, check. 37, infiltrate and gain control of big business. Check. How many big businesses do we see with policies that are in line with anti-Americanism, shadow banning people with conservative values, making their businesses gun-free zones, all-inclusive, homosexual-free zones, or homosexual-embracing zones. 38, transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems of psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. And that is the core of the anti-gun argument right there. It's about psychological problems, behavioral problems, psychiatric disorders. That's what the whole anti-gun argument is really leaning toward. And of course, any type of disorder, any psychiatric, anything is going to disqualify you from owning a firearm. And now they are redefining things that are psychiatric disorders. What was normal is now a disorder. What used to be a disorder is now normal and healthy. 39, dominate the psychiatric profession and use the mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communist goals. I think I just covered that. 40, discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Not only are they discrediting the family as an institution, they're redefining. See, people want family. So what they do is they redefine a family. Oh, a family can be anybody. Two moms can be a family. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppress influence of parents. We're almost done here. Three more. Create an impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition. The students and special interest groups should rise up and use unite force to solve economic, political, and social problems. And now we have children's books titled A is for Activists with a picture of the fist in the air and balaclava wearing activists and a 0 to 3 year old's book with pictures. You think we're creating the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition? There's also another book by that author about disobedience. 43, overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-government. 4, internationalize the Panama Canal. 45, and finally, repeal the Connolly Reservation so the United States cannot prevent the world court. So that's what we're up against. I'm going to post that to you. That was from beliefnet.com. I've got more here, lots more, but we're going to wrap this up. And I'm going to be following this up in the next couple of weeks. Of course, we've got other things to cover, including the T-Rex After Action Review. So we've got a lot of stuff to look forward to. Thank you, guys. This went a little bit long this time, but maybe not too bad. So I just thought that I would pass some of these things on to you with some action items for you guys to be able to get involved. I've given you enough. Okay, given you enough action items, things to run with, things to pray about, think over. Hopefully you're a little bit more educated on some things, or inspired, encouraged, and hopefully motivated to take action and get involved, take an active role in your children or grandchildren's lives, because they're going to be the remnant that's going to be up against this machine that's building every day. So you need to prepare them to stand and to stand firm and to not budge. Teach them the truth when the lies come so they can discern the difference. All right, guys, you have a blessed week. Thank you for the prayers, for the support. Thank you for your financial support, which is greatly needed. And I just appreciate you guys being out there. And also some really great links and some really good research that many of you guys have been sending in. It's been super helpful. So thank you for that as well. All right. God bless. This is John Jacob Schmidt. And if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Good night.